Well, good evening. So, obviously, I'm not Josh. I know it's a disappointment, but we'll have to get through it. Yeah. So, Josh is sick or something, so I was asked to take his place tonight. I was happy to do so. I'm sure you're not as happy, but yeah, it's okay. You'll get over it. I'd like to start on Acts chapter 2, if you'd turn there. And, I just was really encouraged this morning with the exhortations that were brought forward, especially the stewardship. And great message this morning by was the great tool time hour that we had. Was it an hour? Whew. I got plenty of time then tonight. Nolan helped us this morning in understanding our adversary. He's our adversary. That was an insider. Helped us to get a good picture of our adversary, the devil, to develop this picture on just how dangerous of an adversary he is and how crafty he is. And I really appreciated that. We need to know what we're up against. And he challenged us, as was mentioned, by listing some activities that a Christian should be engaged in to arm themselves for this adversary. And, you know, things like Bible reading, attending the assembly twice on Lord's Day, midweek study, prayer, scripture memorization, all the things that he listed. And I'm thinking, man, I got to work on a couple of those things. And if you do this, then it makes up about 6% of your time. Man, that was, okay, got to work harder. And he said, he posed the question, and you expect to wage war against a supernatural evil with that? And right between the eyes. And it made me start to think, what else can we do? What else can we do to strengthen ourselves against this adversary? And in Acts chapter 42, we get a good start here. Is the first century church, they were continually devoting themselves in verse 42 to the apostles' teaching, to scripture, to fellowship, assembly of saints, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And as I mentioned, this is a good place to start. And I'll always remember this as God's four-wheel drive that he's given us from Mr. City a few years back. And I believe this is key, but I think we can go a step further, and we'll cover that tonight. So please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that you do provide us with the means to wage war, not according to the flesh, but these are a warfare of a spiritual nature. Something that we on our own, of ourselves, are highly incapable of waging. And so thank you for the training that we have, Father. Thank you for your spirit that dwells within us, that strengthens us and enables us to not only wage war with the adversary, but completely crush him. So thank you for King Jesus that leads the way, our leader, and our establisher, the anchor to our very souls. And it is in his name that I pray. Amen. So what are some other things that we can do? Well, the first thing that really that we need to do in the four-wheel drive is directed to is changing our mind, changing the way we think. And it's Steve Doty mentioned it a few years back. I always liked it. He's replacing your old operating system. Out with the old and in with the new kind of deal. And in that process, developing the proper image of ourselves, the image that God gives us. And if you turn to Philippians 4, I think we have a good place to start there as well. What should we be thinking on? The things that we focus on is so important because that ultimately helps us to develop our self-image, the image that God has for us. In Philippians 4, verse 8, he gives us a list of things that we should be thinking of. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These are the things we should be dwelling on. And it's important to dwell on these things every minute that we're awake and alive. In verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. If we practice these things, that means we have to implement them. They have to be working facets of our lives. If we do so, then God of peace will be with us. So I think that's vital. It's a key process. And it's important to know also, brethren, that this is a transformation. And as Nolan well brought out this morning, the adversary, Satan, is trying to distract us from that. He's trying to derail us from the transformation that we're undergoing. He's doing that through the world. He's doing that as the prince and the power of the air. Don't breathe. I like that. We're immersed in it almost in this physical sense. This world continually batters away at us with those flaming arrows that are developed specifically to each one of us. So he's trying to distract us in that regard. He's going to target you, Christian, and he's going to keep you from these things. What might keep somebody from these four things in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2? What might keep somebody from assembling with the saints? I mean eternally, internally, and eternally. What goes on in a person's mind? And I'm just, I have to draw from my own experience and things that I've witnessed, of course. But for me, it was the fact that initially, I think early on as a Christian, that I thought, man, my behavior needs to be changed. You know, I've come up out of the waters of immersion, and I should be changed. I should be transformed right there. And in the image of God, spiritually, we are. But our lives don't really play out that way all the time, especially as a new Christian. But it seems that is the expectation, at least of ourselves. And I don't know about you, but that wasn't my experience. Coming up out of the waters of immersion and you're living perfect, right? No. Your bad habits are seemingly still there. But the mindset, where is the mindset? So we do need to be thinking of ourselves as such. But it's a struggle. I found it as a struggle. So it doesn't happen instantly. It's important for us, wherever we are in our walk, to remember that this is a process. It's a transformation. And it diligently needs to be worked on daily, all throughout the day that we're blessed with. So we all fall short of the glory of God. It tells us that in Romans chapter 3. Where is our focus, though? God understands us, and he knows that you know, we'll trip up occasionally, but he's there to pick us up. And that's kind of what I want to look at there, is if we sin, we have an advocate. So keep moving forward. Falling short of the glory of God is discussed occasionally. In other words, another way of saying it is sin. Sin is an issue that we have to deal with. We all have to deal with it. And I've had the question, well, what happens when you become a Christian and you sin? Well, that's part of what the advocate that we have. The times of refreshing, as we all know, is the Holy Spirit. That's the big difference. Are we living lives differently now that we have the Spirit dwelling within us? The times of refreshing, it should change our direction. It should change our mindset. But we have to develop that. We have to develop the picture that we have of ourselves. Is it in line with the way God sees us? And we'll look at some of that as well. So it's so true. As a new Christian, our conscience tends to bother us a little more, doesn't it? It tends to bother us more than it used to. And As a new Christian, or maybe not so new, we tend to focus on don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up. But that cannot be the focus for us. It has to be on the things that God has chosen for us. If we're walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, and doing all these things that are being brought out, we won't be focused on don't do this, but we're focused on what do this. This is what God has in mind for us. All of my new habits and fleshly desires have to go. Got to kill the old man. Got to whack him. Okay, well, that's all good, but it's the wrong focus. Focus on the things from above. Focus on the things that we are to be focused on. And again, I think we have this image of being magically swept free of these things and totally different overnight. And it seems that that's the expectation of ourselves, and then we realize that's not really reality, is it? We tend to emotionally beat ourselves too. I'll just speak for me. That's the when I'm not acting the way I should. And I've struggled with that over the years. And then I read 1 Peter 5. Let's turn there. Why should we fellowship with each? Why do we spend time together? I mean, I know why you want to spend time with me, but but there's a purpose behind that. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and I didn't write down the verse, but I think I got it. Yeah, in verse 9. Talking about resisting Satan, he says, "Best, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." That's why we're together. You're dealing with the same things I'm dealing with. Man, that's encouraging. I'm not the only one dealing with these things. Thank you for that. And then I realized that, I'm not alone in these things. And then I realized there's something else at work here. In the verse just before it, in verse 8, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking you to devour. I realized there's something else at work here. It's not just me. I'm being targeted. We are being targeted. We have to armor up. And that made a lot of sense to me. I understood that, and it helped me a little bit. Things are going well. I'm hitting the assemblies. I'm reading scriptures. I'm praying and studying with Kevin. You know, he tells me that I've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is all great. And bam. If I give up just a little bit, I get whacked. It's an all-out assault, as was mentioned this morning, with extreme prejudice. No wonder that four-wheel drive is so important. Put on the armor of light, as Romans chapter 13 and 12 says. Put on the armor of light. What's the armor of light? It's not a thing, is it? It's not a thing that you put on like a bulletproof vest. It's a place. It's a place. It's the self-image that we carry of ourselves. The image that God gives us is like one of Michael, the archangel that slays the dragon, right? Put on the armor of light. How we see ourselves, brethren, is so vital. Is it the way God sees us? Or is it the way we really kind of thought of when we were in the flesh, but now we're in the spirit, and it's the process. It's a process of like developing a Polaroid. You just keep shaking it. Keep shaking it. Keep shaking it. Got to develop that picture. Got to continue to develop it. Develop it based on God's developing process. Scriptures. What does this say about you? Because this doesn't say you're a black-hearted sinner. This says if you sin, you have an advocate. In the past, I've always likened this process to a child and his bicycle, first bicycle that he's gotten. Some of you may have heard this example. I can remember sitting on my first bicycle as a young little shaver, and I was so excited because I have this new bike, right? And like I could walk tall, my head held high. I got my new bike, you know. I was pretty excited to show it to all my friends. I was really excited, and then I got on the bike. Oh, this is a little scary because I didn't know how to ride a bike yet. And so I was really excited at first, and then once I got to riding, it was really kind of frustrating because I was on the ground more of the time than I was riding. My friends thought I was a dork. It was short-lived. It's true today, too. But the cool thing is that good old dad was right there, right? He just keep going. Keep trying, son. You're gonna get it. He'd pick me up and put me back on. I'd keep wrecking. And then one day he came home and he had a surprise for me called training wheels. No more wrecks. At least not as many. So he put some training wheels on for me, right? Training wheels were there to help me stay upright and not wreck so often and look like a dork. So that's what God has done for us, brethren. That's what we are to each other. We're there to support each other and pick each other up. That's what the assembly of saints are for. The word, breaking of bread, prayer, all of these things. Amen? Amen. These are our training wheels. And eventually we start to rely less and less on those training wheels. So we have a chance. The training wheels are so we have a chance to learn how to ride the bike without falling so often. Training wheels are the support that we need. So let me ask you something. Do you ever think that even with the training wheels that a child might still occasionally wreck? Sure. But hopefully he starts to wreck fewer and fewer times. It's the learning process. It's the transformation from knowing how to ride a bike, knowing not how to ride a bike, to knowing how to ride a bike. You have a few wrecks and soon you learn what to do not to wreck. Also, in most cases, good old mom and dad are usually, again, right there to pick us up. They're there to pick the child up and dust him off and get him going again. I'm reminded of the saying Jesus said in John chapter 16 and 33, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world." Take courage, as Nolan mentioned this morning, as God is the winning team. You just have to decide which team you're going to be on. You're going to be on a team. All of us are. Is it going to be the winning team or the losing team? Because there's just two teams. By the way, who knows? I made this statement a while back before I was even a parent, but who knows the most powerful words as a mom and dad have in their vocabulary? The most powerful words they can say to their child: "You're okay. You're okay." Man, those are, as a parent now, I understand just how powerful those words are. And, you know, "You're okay, you're okay" communicates to Zoe that when she falls and gets a boo-boo, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You're okay. You're fine. And one thing that I've learned is that not just what we're saying, those words, it's how we respond. Because the first time she fell and got a boo-boo, I kind of freaked out, and she saw me freaking out, and she freaked out even more. So it's definitely how we respond to situations as well. God's there to pick us up and say, "You're okay. You're okay." He dusts us off, he gets us back on the bike, and he points us in the right direction, right? At times it seems almost even easier to believe that he is disappointed and angry with us and wants to light us up, rather than thinking that he's forgiven us and he's even forgot. See, that depends on the picture of yourself. I think a lot of people, especially new Christians, don't see themselves worthy of this. That's why it's even equally as important here in this regard to develop that picture. God hasn't brought you this far to drop you on your head. First chance he gets. Even when we were enemies toward God, as sinners, he wouldn't drop you on your head. He didn't drop you on your head. Turn to Romans chapter 5 for a great example on this. Man, I am only halfway through. Good thing we got some time. Romans chapter 5, in verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. See, while we were hopeless, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If that's not enough demonstration on what he thinks about you, I don't know what is. His mercy and grace is great. He gave his life for us, and of course he forgives us when we mess up. I think it gets back to, can we forgive ourselves? Why do you suppose God has set it up this way, and why is it so important for us to understand and believe it? Do you suppose that it's so we can be freed up to focus on the things we should be focused on? Moving forward? Yeah, I think so. Seeking first the things from above, the things from above where Christ is, as it says in Colossians 3 and 1. Having the right focus is important. So, I mentioned what we do when we respond to certain situations is important. So what happens after you, if you do crash, what happens? Do you quit? Do you keep pedaling? Will you get back up on the bike and ride again? You're okay. God says, you can do it, son. I know you can. You can do it. Just stop doing what you're doing. Do it differently. Change the way you're doing it. What did Jesus say to the woman caught in adultery in chapter 8? He said, did no one condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, I do not condemn you either. Go. But sin no more. See, change what caused you to wreck in the first place. So that's a perfect example of the way to motivate somebody. He extended mercy and grace, didn't he? He wanted her to succeed, so he gave her what was necessary for that to happen. As Luke has mentioned previously, grace is space. And it's space and room to grow in the Lord. But we can't misunderstand, this is not a license to sin. Because we know in Romans chapter 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in grace so grace may increase? Uh-uh. That's not the idea. Change is the idea. So he says, okay, you made a mistake. It's okay. I forgive you. Now don't do it again. In other words, change what we're doing. Change whatever it is that caused you to wreck in the first place. Change your self-image. Develop the image that God gives us. Why is that so important? Well, we've mentioned several things, but in Proverbs 23:7 sums it up just perfectly. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. As a man, what a man sees, he'll achieve. So, well, here's another question. Do you see yourself as a black-hearted sinner, or do you see yourself as a child of light? The way God sees you. Does God see you as a black-hearted sinner, incomplete and incapable of perfection? Colossians chapter 2. In verse 9 and 10. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him, you, Christian, have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. You, Christian, have been made complete in Christ Jesus. I've heard a message by Steve Doty once, and he explains this as an assembly line. A vehicle's going along, and it's got a frame and some basic parts, and it's got even wheels, but it's got no doors or any windows or anything. You might think, well, what kind of truck is that? Well, it's not done yet. You have to get to the end of the assembly line to see the completed truck. In fact, if it did have doors or windows on that point, they'd stop the assembly line and go, oh, wait. Something's wrong here. But God sees us complete in every step along the way. But He says to continue to grow. Stay on the assembly line, but you're good to go. He says, yep, you see my daughter, my son there? See how perfect they are? Right here, right now. But you got to keep moving. You got to stay on that conveyor belt. You got to keep pedaling. Keep growing. Keep advancing. Moving forward with a spiritual mindset and a spiritual appraisal of all things and not of a physical, carnal mindset. If you're not growing, you're dying. And that's exactly what Satan wants. So God sees us as complete because He made us complete. But if we do make a mistake, we have an advocate. Thank the Lord. He understands us. He created us. So also, we know from Hebrews that He was made like us in all ways in chapter 2 and 17. He knows us. He truly understands us as a merciful and faithful high priest. His grace is sufficient. Saved by grace through faith, I say amen. Now let's define faith. He gives us time to learn how to ride our bike, even though we wreck occasionally. So, okay, the kid's going along, he's learning how to ride his bike, and there's still an occasional wreck, but overall he's getting better, and he keeps going, he keeps learning, he keeps getting better. What happens after a few scuffed elbows and knees? He gets better and his confidence grows. Something else happens here that's critical for his success. His self-image has changed. He's no longer afraid or a dork. This kid no longer sees himself as a weak, shaky rider, but one with skill. Deftly maneuvering through the neighborhoods. His mindset changed. He starts to see him as a pretty good skilled rider, and he says, look at this. Goes off a jump or does some trick. Shows off a little bit. So a man thinks. So is he. What a man sees and believes, he'll achieve. So let me ask you another question. Do you see yourself as a black-hearted sinner again or a child of light? Do you believe that you've been made dead to sin? And alive to God through Christ? Raised to walk in newness of life? Yeah. That's what scriptures say about you. But you have to believe it. You have to have that picture of yourself. Change what is going into this housing, brain housing unit, as Steve Doty says. Know who you are in Christ, as Kevin continually beat us across the brow with. Ephesians chapter 3, it's not that bad. Thankfully he does. Because we're not going to be able to develop this picture, brethren, without that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. In other words, all knowing. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. I've got another 2 pages of notes here, but I'm going to cut her short. You're welcome. Here's a wrap up. We are being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:8 tells us that. If we behold in it as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are we beholding in the mirror? This mirror? We're being transformed. Don't stop pedaling. Stay on the assembly line. We're in training. And yet He sees us perfect right now. Not by anything we've done or are capable of doing on our own. He's made us perfect. Knowing the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, right? Yeah. So know who you are in Christ and what He has done on your behalf. Believe it, brothers and sisters. Know that you have come to the city of the living God, Holy Jerusalem. Hold fast to your faith, being, what did it say, rooted and grounded in love. Remember that you have been made perfect and complete, even if you still have training wheels on. And know that if you do wreck, if you do crash, we have an advocate. You're okay. You're okay, He says. Get up. Keep going. Keep pedaling. See, He says that I paid that debt. Get up. Keep going. Don't forsake the assembly of saints. Keep talking to me. I want to hear from you. Study the words that I've given you. Assemble with one another at my table. Keep that four-wheel drive engaged. So remember, God forgives and forgets. We ought to believe that and do it as well. So as we do that, we forget what lies behind and we go forward to what lies ahead. The focus that God gives us, focused on the things from above. Thank you for your time.